There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday as we get ready for I thought about this too. This is at least in my household. I know several schools went back to school today. I think my kids go back Thursday. In the next 2 weeks, it's back to school. And with that being said, that means summer comes to a close, even though it's not going to cool off. And then it got me thinking about one of those other benchmarks of the summer into fall, and that is the Greater Gulf State Fair. Coming up in hour number two, Josh Woods from the grounds is going to join us. Lots to talk about with him. They had some groundbreaking, literally and figuratively, announcements last week. We'll talk about that. Also, fair tickets and all that good stuff coming up in hour number two of the show. Also, as I mentioned to Jeff, it's the second half of this hour is going to be, it's going to be the difference, at least through my eyes, and of course I expect your reaction, the reality of COVID and the fight against COVID versus the movie adaptation of that fight. And we'll talk about that later on in this hour. Leadoff batter, our buddy from Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. It's Todd Stacey, and the crowd goes wild. There he is.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good, man. And a lot to get into, and we'll remind folks how they could have these stories and more in their inbox each weekday morning, plus once on the weekend in just a second. But caught my eye here, the hurry up and wait in the Senate on infrastructure. Now, you and I talked about this last week or the week before, and I talked about it with Congressman Carl as well. And I said, hey, is this pretty close to the version, you know, that they're going to be able to work on that you'll see in the House? And everybody kind of thought, yes, right? So why the wait?
Well, it's basically because of Senate procedure. If, you know, they get to the cloture motion, they get to these necessary procedural motions that it takes to pass these bills. And under Senate procedure, there is just a certain amount of time that you have to wait before each vote, unless all the senators just kind of agree to not worry about that, right? Say that if they use unanimous consent to not have to wait all these 36 hours or whatever it is. And they almost had that, but Bill Hagerty, a senator from Tennessee, said no. And what's interesting about him is that, number one, he's a freshman. This is his first term, so he's brand new, and he hasn't really piped up about much. He's been pretty quiet in his first term in the Senate. And so he kind of out of nowhere the other day, he objects and says, no, I'm not going to just sit and, you know, let this thing become law quickly. I'm going to drag it out for everybody and kind of maybe punish the Senate and punish those who support this for what he thinks is not only a bad bill. He's against two things. He says we're spending too much, you know, just dollars and deficits and on this $1 trillion plan. And more importantly, maybe his argument is, all right, if we pass this thing quickly, it only makes the $3.5 trillion deal happen more quickly itself. So his objection is basically stretching this out from a one-day process to a three-day process.
But, I mean, there's a little bit of idealistic and pragmatic, right? I mean, idealistic, I'm not going to vote for something that spends this kind of money or does this. The pragmatic is maybe something will come and change that can keep that $3.5 trillion, the add-on bill, from coming to the Senate?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think there are problems. I think the Democrats are going to have a problem passing that $3.5 trillion. Number one, there are people in the Senate that already say they're not going to vote for it. To get that passed, they have to have unanimous Democratic support.
And explain to folks, too, with that, the $3.5 trillion, the addendum there, that's kind of where they put all the stuff that wasn't agreed on by many, right? Or by
Republicans. It's not infrastructure. This is
no, it is. Know, that's a new word. Yeah. Oh, come on. That's infrastructure. It's whatever you want it to be.
Right. Well, it's kind of funny. The Democrats got away with calling it infrastructure for a while until the more details of the bill came out, and it's like, okay, there's not a single road or bridge in this, so we're just going to call it, you know, Democratic wish list. Which, look, they're in charge, and if that's what they want to try to do, they have every right to try it. But the margins are crazy thin. They have, you know, there's 50-50 in the Senate. They have to have 50 Democratic senators support it. There's only a 6 or 7 vote margin in the House. You have to have 100% of their folks on board, and I just don't think they're going to get there. Kyrsten Sinema has also already said that she doesn't support it, that she's going to want some, you know, some revisions to scaling back. I think Manchin's the same way, and I think there are actually more. And there's the ones that are coming out against it are smart, because just the number alone just was scare the devil out of a lot of voters. And so they keep saying it's sort of, I don't know, going to happen automatically. I think they're going to have trouble passing that bill.
That's interesting, because in the past, right, if we're looking at the history, if something that they would love to come together on, Democrats and Republicans, were infrastructure bills. That was where they, maybe we should have been more worried back then, but they all got along on those infrastructure bills.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're seeing on this bill, on the bipartisan bill, to some extent. I mean, if you get 70 votes, that means you got 20 Republican votes. That's pretty good. In today's environment, that's about as bipartisan as you're going to get. But you turn the page and go to this crazy $3.5 trillion wish list, mm-hmm. Not a single Republican is going to even come close to voting for that. And so I just think, the real fight begins. I think everybody's going to be hunky-dory about infrastructure on this bill. It'll get through. But once they start on that budget, the bigger bill, I think the Republicans' arguments are going to start coming out.
Yeah, I wonder why, and maybe it's because of the being a COVID bill, one being infrastructure. But that was something interesting, you know, the first CARES Act, right? And all the stuff that was loaded into that during the end, right, the last year, yeah, of President Trump's term. But the Pelosi et al. Loaded it up with all this stuff that a lot of people think is wasteful or is not even directly dealing with COVID. Remember, I mean, the bailout for the Kennedy Center and all that kind of stuff that was in there. And I was talking to Robert Kennedy Jr. and I were talking about it on there, and we both agreed he's Democrat. You know, I'm conservative. And we said, hey, why couldn't you just put that into another bill? Right. Let's get after the things that that help people directly most quickly, and then put the other stuff to be thought about another day, another bill. But it didn't happen back then. But here, obviously, something's changed, either the pressure or the nature of the bill or something, that they did do that, which was interesting.
Yeah, look, there's just a completely different mentality and when it comes to Republicans and Democrats in Washington. And it didn't used to be that way. It used to be that some of the stuff you couldn't just do with a straight face, right? Some of this policy making they're doing through appropriations and emergency bills. I mean, it would just be laughed out of the room a long time ago, even during the Obama administration. It's just different these days. They see government as a magic wand where they can just have whatever they want. And, you know, I know people that support that kind of stuff, and I think there are going to be political consequences for it. I think voters aren't stupid. And when you say you're spending $3.5 trillion on a crazy wish list that we certainly can't afford, and $27 trillion in debt already, people get it. People understand a number like that. And so with the margins so already crazy thin, they're playing with fire. And so it's people like Kyrsten Sinema, I think, they're probably doing Democrats a favor, saying, guys, we got to scale this back. Otherwise, we're going to, you know, really be eating it on Election Day.
Yeah, and it tells me enough that the farthest left in the Democrat Party, the things I've seen them saying on social media about Sinema and Manchin, to kind of elevate cinema and mansion in my view. So,
yeah. Well, look, if you represent Brooklyn, then you're not. You know, you have a constituency of hipsters. You know that all support this kind of stuff. But when you represent Arizona or West Virginia or just any kind of place where it's a little bit diverse, it doesn't fly like that. So it's just the nature of it. I mean, and it's the same here. If all you did as a senator or a congressman in a Republican state like Alabama is just vote with the Republicans and say how much you love Donald Trump, you could probably get reelected plenty. Well, it's the same way for Democrats. If they just support all this, you know, crazy spending and, you know, fantasy land government, their constituents love that. So yeah. It's the same. They're responding the same way that our politicians do. I think when it comes to elections, they still need to win states like West Virginia. They need to hold on to those majority makers, and they're risking it this time.
All right. We got to bring it from Washington back here to AL1, specifically City of Mobile. And so, y'all, let's welcome Todd. He's talked about this before, but he's now stepping into the discussions we've been having for years. He reads here, board lets Amtrak move ahead with Gulf Coast passenger plan. Do you understand that people are hollering already at the radio? What happened on Friday? What happened on Friday on this deal?
Well, I was kind of curious to ask you because this is an AP story that, you know, we just kind of come across this every month or so. Something happened on Amtrak, and usually it's we think we might have a path toward Amtrak, and then somebody, whether it's the governor or, you know, some board says no. Not anymore. We're not going to do that. So this, to me, just reading it, and we posted the AP story, sounds like there's a positive way forward for Amtrak in Mobile. But, again, every time there's been like a positive story about it, something tends to come and knock it down. And I do understand the freight versus passenger, and there's some concerns that, you know, there's not enough capacity passenger line, but I couldn't tell you what's going to happen because this seems positive, but it could easily get slapped down.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I think, to give you a kind of a barometer on people's opinion here. If somehow this worked out that it was going to be paid for, even though once again bigger federal spending, but paid for, no cost to the city. Okay, you might have a different opinion, but right now we have this idea that the City of Mobile is going to put up $3 million, even though they've backed off of that, but would put up $3 million to cover any overages over a certain period of time. It would be there in like a fund, right, as needed, used to make up the difference. And then they said after like a few years, then this thing would be operating and making money. As much as I have a romantic love for the idea of trains and all that kind of stuff, I don't see the... I don't see them making the money they're talking about out of this, you know? And then that means, once again, Mobile would be on for that money. If they can do it without the municipal or county level or state level, that's one thing. But if it's going to involve any of those three, I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit like airports. You know, cities and states sometimes have to pay airlines to guarantee the flight, right? Like, if they don't make their capacity... We need to keep the flight here because it's really important to our economic development. You know, a Mobile to DC flight or a Montgomery, you know, that often costs money. So it sounds a little bit like that. And I'm with you. I when I lived in DC, I used to love the access, you know, up to New York and Philadelphia and all that. Just hop on the train and you're there. But there was a lot of demand. A lot of people wanted to do that and buying tickets and everything. And the idea of, you know, getting on a train in Mobile and go to New Orleans for the weekend or something sounds awesome. I agree with you. There's got to be some kind of capacity. There's got to be some kind of demand for it. And I don't know if it's there. We'll see.
Yeah, and that's right. And David reminded me that the city put a contingency on the $3 million, which is contingent upon Amtrak and CSX and Norfolk Southern completing that impact study. And you and I were talking about that off the air. And that impact study was the thing that they were waiting on, and then all of a sudden it didn't happen, and Amtrak basically said, oh, well, we're still moving on. And people in the city are going, wait a second, this impact study was going to be the thing here. It sounds like they've just disregarded that, and they're coming on like a freight train.
just pardon the pun. Well, look, to be clear, my family, we're trained people. Matter of fact, my uncle was the yard manager there at CSX in Mobile for a long time, even back during the Amtrak disaster. But it's a romantic thing for me too, but it's got to work for everybody. So I guess we'll wait for the next shoe to drop.
All right, and before we wrap here, the COVID numbers here, the headline, nearly all of Alabama's COVID deaths are among the unvaccinated.
Yeah, and really the more concerning thing, I think the deaths, the fact we have a lower death rate right now, it's double digits, but it's not
what
the
it was,
crazy
yeah.
thing that it was during, back in January.
Correct.
That's a good thing, and there's reasons why, right? Those with risk factors, elderly, obese, that kind of thing, existing conditions, a lot of those people have been vaccinated, and so you're not seeing them go to the hospital and die. That's a good thing. We know how to treat it better. We've just gotten better as a country, as a medical profession, at treating it. That's a very good thing. The bad thing is this Delta variant is just way more infectious. It's getting more people, and including young people. And that's really scary to hear the numbers from Children's Hospital talking about, they've got infants and two-year-olds and, children. That didn't happen really very much at all during the first strain of this.
Yeah, I heard somebody say it's, the Delta, and if I have this incorrect, believe me, the text line will correct me. I think it's 1,000 times more contagious than the original recipe COVID.
Just concerning and
but kids can rebound too. I mean, I got two of them in my house that had Delta variant, and they're back and ready to go to school,
Yeah, and that's great. So the numbers are going the wrong direction. We're going to be over 2,000 people hospitalized. We'll probably beat our previous peak of just over 3,000 back in January. So just going the wrong direction. It's really frustrating. Probably the worst thing, because again, the death rate is down. People aren't dying at the same rate, but these hospitals are filling up. And so that's what Don Williamson was saying the other day, that, hey, it doesn't just affect COVID. Like, if you need to go to the hospital for anything else,
a heart attack or whatever, right?
Yeah, then that bed is being taken up. And that's really concerning.
All right. Folks want to read more, of course, they can go to aldailynews.com. But let's talk about getting that email in your inbox.
It's really easy, and it's the most convenient way to get your news. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe, or actually it says sign up for the email newsletter. Right up there at the top, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right. Good stuff. Probably not the first list I've been put on, but I'm happy to be on your list. All right, man. Be good. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Thanks.
There he is, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, and we're coming right back. This is Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
By the way, if I haven't mentioned this to you before, we got a brand new app. It's free. It's waiting for you at the App Store or Google Play. Just search for FM Talk 106.5. No point between the 6 and 5. So FMTALK, number one, number zero, number six, number five. See our logo and download it. And so much. I mean, from just the streaming, you'll get right there anywhere you're going. Plus the one-button calling feature. You've got the talkback feature where you can leave us a message by pressing the mic icon on there. You can also text us from there. Check show schedules. The latest news coming through our social media feeds. All those updates. Plus latest traffic and weather in there as well. And it's waiting for you. 55 hours a week of podcast waiting for you as well, all with the free brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. So grab that. All right. Preston, you made me laugh. Preston said, can I ride the train without having the vaccine? Preston, I have not sent that question to Amtrak yet. This Amtrak thing is really, once we get through August 24th, and people aren't running for office. Okay, and get them all back in here on this Amtrak thing in the fall before this is supposed to hit in January, and say, what's y'all's take on this? Is Amtrak just going to kind of tell us what's happening. But I always thought we were supposed to build a train facility, like where you would get on the loading dock or whatever you call those things, train station. It was going to be downtown, then it was going to be at Brooklyn, and now it's back for downtown. Otto says, why spend the money on a train when you can't get across the Bayway? Well, because I really wish, Otto, we had a system where we could allocate money on a triage list like we do in the regular world. But everything's in its own, what's the cliche? Silo. It's in its own silo. So that money that's allocated for a train, you couldn't then say, hey, why don't we take that and fix this bridge issue, put it with some of that. Nah. All right, a lot of texts coming in. We'll get your calls when we get back to 343-0106. When we come back, we'll talk about the reality of COVID versus the movie adaptation.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:36 here in the city of Azaleas, the city of ports, and points way beyond from Pensacola to Pascagoola and up to Grove Hill. All right, it's Midday Mobile. I'm going to go through some of these texts here, and then I want to get in my premise here on the COVID, because I got a lot of texts about that too. But we'll roll these out, then we'll get into it. All right. Unnamed texter about the, because I was trying to figure out the how much they're saying how much more contagious the Delta variant is. So it's 1,000 times more contagious than the first round of COVID. That's what I call original recipe, unnamed texter. That's what I had. And that was 1,000 times more contagious than the flu, and that's 1,000 more times contagious than something else, et cetera. But somehow only 10 to 20% of the population has been affected. Sure, I buy that. Natalie says, if only we care for people and infants, and my daughter's teacher dying of flu, she passed away after taking her annual flu vaccine at 52, 5 years ago. We have never stopped. Stop the fear, please. 98.9% recovery. We'll say, yeah, that's in, well, I think it's, isn't it 98.9% of people that had the vaccine have not gone to the hospital? Maybe there's so many percentages out there. Yes, make people aware, but this spreading fear is not helping. Now, I'm going to get into that in my soliloquy here in a second. Let people have their freedom of choice. I think we would be surprised how many would do what's right without a mandate and fear. No science behind the masks in schools, says Natalie. David's upset about sending the fountain to Montreal. We'll have to get into that another show. Somebody said, from past Amtrak experiences, you're going to need tons of vaccinations. Let's see. Derek says, Mobile needs to decide what it wants to be. Does it want to be a destination city? Doesn't it want to be an industrial hub? Because you can't be both. Seems so that the whole train thing, you have to get people here and there if you want to grow the city, as well as you're going to be an industrial hub. You have to get industry here and there. So do I understand the balance? But Mobile, for a very long time, has not figured out what it wants to be. Punctuation. I mean, I'm having a little trouble here. Figured out what it wants to be. Now the time for decisions. I think the train is a great idea as one more mode of getting here. That's it gets to work. And I'll say this, Derek. I've admitted this many times. I have this romantic thing about the not that kind of romantic romanticized view of the train, because I love this idea of taking the kids and family. We get on the train and link through and go on up to Glacier National Park and all that kind of stuff, and I like all that. Like, so I'm not anti. There's some people like my buddy Jeff Poor, who just doesn't like the train, right? And because he had to deal with them a lot. I've only been on them a few times. I thought they were great, but at the same time, I'm not going to let that overcome the question about how much it's going to cost the city of Mobile. If Amtrak wants to spend everything and build everything, and then we just have it here, then swell. But it's going to be on the city too. And then what happens when we have to come up with money for a train that we aren't filling up? And Terry says, get me in trouble. But the difference between the movie COVID and the real life COVID is Mila Djokovic is not playing my wife, and the government bad guys who have taken advantage of this won't be punished. All right. And I'm sorry, Derek said voice to text. All right. Jace, after having COVID-19, pneumonia, and getting crash-carted, going into my second week of recovery, and COVID brain is real. The vaccine didn't stop it. It stopped it from being deadly. With COVID brain, I feel perpetually mildly drunk and confused. Well, I mean, I could send you back to my days at the University of Alabama, and I made it through by 4 years like that. Get to that. Once again, the reality versus the movie version, because, and I think people are having a tough time distinguishing the two. Not everybody. A lot of y'all understand the difference. But I think a lot of times people have trouble with those two. All right, we're going to grab we'll grab a phone call here. David is in Mobile. Yeah, David.
Hey, Sean. You know, I'm a political science major from the University of South Alabama, which is basically a marketing degree. I think we're missing the perfect marketing opportunity to get people get a push to get people to get vaccinated. You know, with this new and improved extra strength Delta variant COVID that they've got going around, we need to get Billy Mays, the infomercial guy, to start hawking the vaccine.
Saying, he's dead.
You don't want to get the extra strength back COVID, get the vaccine.
Isn't Billy Mays dead?
He might be.
Yeah, he's dead.
I don't think he died of COVID, though.
No, I remember somebody said, I don't want to say what I... Yeah, okay, let me Google this before I say it, but yeah, that's right, that he had like a cocaine overdose. That's how, so Billy Mays, who was always jacked up, quite possibly was jacked up on Bolivian marching powder.
Okay, well, let's get the Australian guy that went to jail.
There you go. That's what, we'll get them to do that. Thank you. Appreciate the idea here. All right. Yeah, Billy Mays. Remember that? Billy Mays, he was always so jacked up. And it's, they said, I think he had a cocaine overdose. I think what killed, somebody might correct me, but I think that's what killed him. All right, so just this idea here, the reality of COVID versus the movie adaptation, something that's been bouncing around in my head here, and I'll do it this way. How many times either you experienced something firsthand or you read the book and then the movie comes out, right? And there are parts of the movie, you're like, yeah, that's like that's the real thing, or... that's kind of really how it happened. And then you get to other parts, you're like, well, what are you talking about? That never happened. Or you're linking this to that, right? Or there's big, important parts of the reality or the book that just are cut out for the movie. Right? How many times you get like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I should have even gone and seen the movie. It's so different than the book. Or, you know, that feeling. So I think that's what happens here. So the reality is there's a highly contagious Delta variant of COVID out there, okay? The reality is as well that the stats show the people that are dying, people hospitalized and dying, are on the most part, overwhelming most part, unvaccinated, okay? At the same time, so that gets put in the movie. So that's in the movie version. But in the reality, those things are true, but as well is the fact that vaccinated people can carry the Delta variant and spread it to unvaccinated people. When the war against the unvaccinated people keeps rolling on, I would just interject that there's story after story out where people that have the... First of all, I've told you my personal story. I know four people, okay? Four people, like three of them family members. Okay, family members. One of them dang near a family member. That close. I mean, this is not... I'm not spreading my net wide just to get the numbers up. These are people like kin, okay, that are vaccinated that got the Delta variant. And I know I keep hearing that it's a very rare thing you have the breakthrough case. And maybe it is, because my knowledge is anecdotal. I'm not running the stats at CDC. But me, one person, and I'd love to hear from you if you've got your personal story like that. Me, one person who knows very close people that were vaccinated that got the Delta variant. And then you hear, so that part, and now, did they recover more quickly than people that I knew that did not get the vaccine? They did. Okay, so there's part of the movie. But the movie goes out and says, you know, it's the unvaccinated people that are doing all this damage. Well, if the unvaccinated people are doing it, they're doing it, if you're going to have a war on unvaccinated people, they're doing the war on themselves, right? Because if the vaccinated people don't get that sick and don't go to the hospital and don't die, then they're protected from it. But what if you flip that around and say the people that are vaccinated are carrying the Delta variant and spreading it to unvaccinated people? That doesn't seem to make it into the discussion much. Also in this movie, we have the Sturgis Motorcycle Super Spreader event, right, that they're rolling out now because it fits a description, right? It's a bunch of white dudes, even though it's not all, which I think is cool. Sturgis people look different ways. But the caricature of the Sturgis Motorcycle attendee is a white dude, right? And that's a horrible thing, super spreader event. Let's flip it around. And what was it, a week or two ago? A week ago? 10 days ago? Lollapalooza in Chicago. The big concert thing. Lollapalooza. 100,000 people in Grant Park there in Chicago. Now, as Chicago goes, that's maybe not the deadliest thing you could do. Maybe walk around the South Side. But you don't hear anything from that other than, wow. Wow, look at how the Foo Fighters did, which is a cool band. So why is that not part of the narrative? Why didn't that make it into the movie? If the movie out there is going to point out this week the irresponsibility of those people that went to Sturgis, why didn't do the same thing for Lollapalooza? Because that got dropped. That didn't make it in the movie. That's reality, but it didn't make it in the movie version. And also, while we're talking about this, groups that are least vaccinated in our country, okay? Now, I'll say one group, Republican men, definitely show up in the stats as being lower vaccination rate than the mean, but so do people of color. Black folks, Hispanics in this country at lower vaccination rates than the mean. Which I think is pretty interesting, too, as you have New York City, and we'll talk about this when we get back, but New York City with the vaccine passport thing, who's that going to affect most there in New York City? Right. It's immigrants or people of color in the city. They're going to get affected most by the vaccine passport being denied, being able to do whatever they're going to do out there. You have to have that vaccine passport, which, and we can also discuss, you know, once that beachhead is conquered, where you have to have some kind of documentation of your health, like on you, not just to go to school or be in the military or something like that. No, we're talking about, you know, going to the supermarket or something like that, going to the health club. Do you think they're going to say, okay, well, I guess everything's fine now with COVID, so we're not going to do that anymore? No way. No way. Yeah, and more of the theater here. Did you see the AOC video from over the weekend? A couple of them were out there, were amusing. But the pure example of the mask for show. Now, we've talked about it before with the reporters doing, they go to do their stand-up, you know, where they're in front of the camera going, all right, reporting live from so-and-so today. And they had the mask on, and then you see on other cameras, as soon as the live shot's over, they take the mask off. This AOC video, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, shows exactly that. She's having this event. Nobody's got their masks on. Maybe one person or something, but there's a group of people on, I think, the Capitol steps. And I think they're rallying around the eviction moratorium extension or something like that. And they're there. And when they say, okay, it's time to take a picture, okay, they're going to take a picture and do this thing, then Representative Markey and Cortez both put on their masks. So do other people in the crowd. They put their mask on and get their picture made. What do they do within a minute of that picture being over? They take their mask back off. So do you not believe, if that's true, if you don't believe that the mask is important, then why are you putting it in the picture, right? So that's what doesn't make it into the movie. Movie shows are elected officials or wearing masks. And on the flip side, I don't know if this is in the sequel of the movie, but the former President Obama's birthday party. By the way, let me say something, and I'll agree with what Jeff was saying earlier. If you're a conservative, having shock over that or trying to call that out, but you could call it out because it's, you know, you could say, well, it's hypocritical, right? But he's not an elected official anymore. And shouldn't you celebrate that he decided he was going to have a birthday party and have all those people be there? And shouldn't you, instead of going after it, use it as a point of contention to say, hey, why are the lockdowns? Why the mask mandates going back in when these folks right here, they were the head, the top dog of the Democrat Party, or choosing not to wear the mask? So, I mean, so a few of the things that are in the mix of the reality versus the movie version of COVID. It is a real thing. Vaccines are helping people. Okay? You can say that and understand that and believe that at the same time, you can question mandates, vaccine passports. You can believe in the danger of this virus, but also say, is it only the unvaccinated people that are to blame here? If you could turn it around, what about the vaccinated people that can carry the Delta variant and spread it to unvaccinated people? So the protection, it's singular immunity versus herd immunity, the way I see this. But that's not in the movie, but that may be in the book. Coming right back. Grab your calls, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:55, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. All right, I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars. And Larry's got one of each selection to preview for us today. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how are you? Let me start out with the 2012 Hyundai Equus. That's the Hyundai luxury car. It's a front-engine, rear-wheel drive luxury sedan. It's only got 40,000 miles, and it's a local one owner. It is a beautiful white tan leather, fully loaded vehicle.
Nice.
Then we got a 2018 GMC Terrain, which is their really popular midsize SUV. It's only got 40,000 miles. It's also a local one owner and fully loaded. Then we got a 2019 Ram 4x4 SLT Crew Cab 5.7 Hemi with the 20-inch chrome wheels and 50,000 miles, and also a one-owner.
Now we're talking. So, I mean, just a little sampling of...
best for last.
Yeah, that's right. A little sampling of the selection there. If folks want to come out and check all the vehicles out online or in person, give them directions.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, I'm gonna hopefully can get through some of these texts. My gosh, we are stacked here. Holy cow. And it keeps coming in. All right. By the way, Terry and others, I want to just say plant my flag. It was like 10 days ago or something. Dalton can check, but I did instead of the Lambda variant, I did say Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. I went Revenge of the Nerds at least 10 days ago on that. So I see y'all are doing it now, but I just want to make sure get some kind of credit. All right. Will says, my neighbor's got it. Six total. This is what I was talking about. That once again, the stats say it's very rare that somebody with the vaccine gets the virus. I'm not saying I'm the CDC. I'm just saying this is what I know. I know four people, three of them family members, one a super close friend that got it, who were vaccinated, who got it. Now, they recovered more quickly. They didn't go to the hospital. Those things are good. See, that's that's reality versus the movie version. Reality says, your chance you can still get it. Reality also says they recover pretty quickly. So that's good. All right. So Will says, my neighbors got it, six total. One didn't get it. Four were vaccinated and got it. One was unvaccinated, 8 months old. Wow. See, there's reality versus TV version. That's truth. It doesn't follow any political line, just what Will had seen. Some people, yes, there's a lot of people that are looking at the movie version of COVID here. That's a whole nother show. Somebody wants Randy Quaid to play Ricky. Ben says, believe the science until the science changes, then believe that science, the government. I got a couple more of these people texting that know multiple people that were vaccinated that still did get it. We'll talk about this some. Plus, Josh Woods joins us at the next hour. News is next.